You're listening to The Autism Show, episode 22.
Welcome to The Autism Show, a weekly interview show of inspiring stories and the best resources for the global autism community. Now here's your host, Catherine.
All right. Thank you for tuning into the Autism Show podcast. You're joining thousands of listeners from 41 countries around the world who care about autism. Today on the show, we have Kerry Magro. And Kerry Magro is an award-winning speaker on the autism spectrum. He has spoken at more than 400 venues across the U.S. and Canada. He is CEO and founder of KFM Making a Difference, a nonprofit corporation focused on disability advocacy and housing. One of his recent accomplishments was consulting for the 2012 motion picture hit Joyful Noise, starring Queen Latifah and Dolly Parton. Kerry is now consulting for two more films set to come out in 2015, including Jane Wants a Boyfriend and Don't Foil My Plans. Kerry's first book, Defining Autism from the Heart, which came out in July 2013, went to number one Amazon bestseller list for special needs parenting. And Kerry lives in New Jersey and works in New York doing social marketing for Autism Speaks. Kerry, I'm excited to have you on this episode of The Autism Show. Are you ready to get started?
Absolutely. Let's get it underway.
Awesome. So I've given our listeners just a little overview about yourself and your story, but please, we want to get to know a little bit more about you. Can you tell us more about yourself and your work for the autism community?
Absolutely. I have a personal story just on how I got involved with the autism community, and it really starts with being diagnosed with autism when I was 4 years old. I was diagnosed with pervasive developmental disorder, not otherwise specified, and for a while my parents knew, they saw a lot of signs of autism. I was nonverbal until I was 2.5, and because of the inability to communicate, it gave my parents a lot of red flags. And when I was 4 and I finally got a diagnosis after going to see doctors for over 1.5 years, they finally diagnosed me with a type of autism and PDD-NOS. And since then, growing up was definitely a challenge. It was definitely a struggle. Just because autism was not very well known back in the early 90s, the rates of autism in the United States, at least, were every 1 in 1,000 children being diagnosed with autism, not 1 in 68 like we have today. But thankfully, because of the support of a loving family and the services I was able to get over the years, specifically music therapy, occupational therapy, physical therapy, and speech therapy for over 16 years while going through school, I was able to overcome a lot of my obstacles. And today, currently, I work with Autism Speaks in New York City as their social marketing coordinator. And I've been doing that full-time for almost about 2 years now. I went to school at Seton Hall University in South Orange, New Jersey, to study marketing. And in my grad work, I got a master's in strategic communications so I could go out in the autism community and give motivational speeches about not only my experiences on the autism spectrum, but how we can go about giving hope for our community, because there are so many individuals who are leading the pack right now in our community. And that's kind of just opened the door for so many opportunities, not only in film today, but also as a self-advocate, as an author of 2 books now, and just as a writer, blogger, and just trying to wear as many hats in the community to try to help those understand that autism has never defined me. I think I've defined autism, and I think many families in our community are doing the same today.
Great. Kerry, I love your story, and I love the work that you're doing for the autism community, but I want to learn more about how you got started doing your work for the autism community. So at some point in your journey, a light bulb came on, and you thought, aha, it would be great to start working with the autism community. So really take us down to the ground level and tell us specifically about the steps that you took to make that happen.
Sure, absolutely. So when I was a kid, I had so many difficulties with speech, and I had so many difficulties being nonverbal until I was 2.5. I definitely didn't have a lot of, even when I started talking, I had a stutter for a lot of my early years, and it was definitely hard to make friends. And because of my stutter and because of my inability to communicate as well as many of my peers, I was constantly bullied. And one of my saving graces was definitely when I went to a school for students with learning disabilities in middle school and high school, because that gave me the opportunity to not only the bullying basically went away. Everyone knew that they had something special about them that made them who they were. And for me, bullying went away because everyone just knew who they were, and no one really tried to get down on anyone for anything they may have had different. So that kind of built my self-confidence. And when I was able to build that self-confidence, I was really able to succeed academically. And when I was pursuing colleges, my parents had high goals for me. They wanted me to get in somewhere. And that led us to apply to over 15 colleges in the United States, because we were just like, you know what? We will pay the waiver fees. We'll do whatever we need to do. I'm getting into a college, no matter what, no matter what's going on, I'm getting in somewhere. So that led to me to actually get accepted not only into one college, Seton Hall, where I ended up going, but all 15. And that kind of just paved the way for me to understand how all the hard work growing up as a kid has led to this point. And then when I actually got into college, I realized how much more work that I could actually be doing to try to make an impact in the autism community. When I got to college, there were only, out of the 5,500 undergraduates, there were only 4 individuals with autism. And there is less than 1% of our population who had a disability. So when I got to school, there was really not that much disability awareness. There was not that much autism awareness. And I saw that as a sign for the first time to come out about my diagnosis, to come out about autism to my peers. And when I did that, I realized a lot of things about myself. In one of my first classes ever, in my oral communication class freshman year, I told everyone that I was on the autism spectrum. And I didn't know how they were going to react. I didn't know what they were going to say. I didn't know if they would treat me differently. But after giving my talk for about 30 minutes on autism and closing, telling everyone that I was on the autism spectrum, I got a standing ovation from my peers. Everyone accepted me for who I was. And that kind of paved the way to my career in advocacy and in the autism community. I took that opportunity as a channel to really go out and not only speak in New Jersey, but then once my undergrad was done, get a master's in strategic communications, where I can speak not only in New Jersey, but around the country on autism awareness and disability awareness. So that really was the aha moment, that oral communication class. And that led me to do my first book, Defining Autism from the Heart, which was focused on me becoming accepting of my autism and telling people that I had autism in college. And that's kind of where we've gone from here. My master's, the National Speakers Association gave me a scholarship to get my master's in strategic communications so I could travel the country and talk about autism. So that's kind of where we've taken off from there.
That's great. Thanks for sharing your journey. So let's delve into our next topic, an inspirational story. So Carrie, tell us why you do everything that you do for the autism community. Share with us one of those moments that keeps you going and moving forward with your work.
Sure. Well, it really came down to me, and there's a few stories that come to mind. But one story specifically just happened to me recently that has inspired me so much in 2015 so far. And that was actually when my second book came out, Autism and Falling in Love, which came out on December 15th on Amazon. When that book came out, I was writing a book, which I've been writing for over 7 years on my experiences with relationships. My first relationship was when I was 18, and I wanted to start writing journal entries because I never had been in a relationship before, and I wanted to give people a glimpse of what it's like to be on the autism spectrum and to be in love. And from that opportunity, I spent the next 7 years writing about my journeys with relationships, the heartbreaks, but also the successes. And then when the book came out, within 2 weeks, I got a email from a mother, a local mother who's also in New Jersey, and she had told me that she gave her book to her 14-year-old son, who was just starting to get into relationships for the first time and was not really confident in his own skin, wasn't really sure how to approach girls. And after reading my book, he asked out his first crush. And after asking out his first crush, she said yes. And now they're going to the prom together this spring. And that kind of moment, that kind of testimonial, that really showed me how the impact of just one little thing that you do can make a world of difference in our autism community. So anytime I write a blog or I speak at an event, I really try to give people my heart, whether it's talking about relationships or just talking about my passion for advocating. I really try to give them what I can, because you never know how far your story can change people's lives. I can only imagine seeing this kid grow up, and you know, if this led to an impact in his life, I couldn't be happier. So now I just kind of try to do, like, I feel very blessed to be where I am today, 26 years old, and being able to give my perspective and hopefully inspire others and make a difference in people's lives.
That's great. That's definitely a big inspirational story and a big motivation to keep going with what you're doing and your writing. So let's shift gears. So Carrie, can you tell us what's next for you? Are you working on any current new projects?
Yes. I'm actually taking a break from writing, and I'm focusing on my first autism documentary. So when I was in school, like I mentioned in the introduction, I was a big advocate of music therapy. And my piano teacher, when I was young, actually came to me a few years ago and said, "Carrie, we really should get your story on film." And that led to the inspiration behind doing a documentary on basically my transition to adulthood and talking about where I came from everything from earlier intervention to when I was first diagnosed to now as an adult and adult services and supports for our community. So that's one of the bigger projects. It doesn't have a title yet. We're just calling it the Untitled Carrie Magro Project for the time being. But we hope to really dive into that more. I have a film crew that has been coming with me to a bunch of my speaking events, and we're doing testimonials with everyone in my family. And we're really hoping to make a huge impact with that documentary to focus on the lifespan of autism. So that's one of the future projects. And then also I just was glad to share on actually an NJ.com article about me getting one of the first professional accreditations for public speaking, the first individual with autism to receive a national public speaking accreditation. And that was actually through my work with the National Speakers Association. They gave me the opportunity to speak for the past 4 years through Masters and now through everything going on today. And I was an aspiring speaker, but because of my work, I finally got the accreditation to move on. So that's me. Now I get the opportunity to speak at even more venues around the country and talk about autism awareness as a professional speaker.
That's great news. I love that. So I know you've been working as a consultant as well for a few films. Can you tell us a little bit more about that experience and how that's been for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it all started when I was in school in 2010. I was an intern with Autism Speaks, and I got this crazy call that came in. A movie director had seen one of my blogs on autismspeaks.org and actually asked if I want to become a screenwriter for the film, because one of the characters had autism. And this film was Joyful Noise. The director was Todd Graff. And the character that he specifically wanted me to focus on was a 14-year-old with Asperger's. So he wanted me to give this character as realistic a portrayal as humanly possible. So within 3 days of him calling me and sending me the script, I had rewritten the character. I had given some feedback on the character. And a week later, we're having lunch in New York with a movie director. It kind of just blew my mind. And we talked for a year and a half while the film was being produced. And in 2012, he invited me to Hollywood, to the Grauman's Chinese Theater, to see the world premiere of Joyful Noise. And from that opportunity, consulting, getting to see my name on the credits of the film in Hollywood gave me the opportunity to focus on other films too, just from being out there in the community. And that led to the opportunity with Jane Wants a Boyfriend, which features a young girl trying to find love in New York City, trying to find a relationship with Asperger's for the first time. And then another film that focuses on a cartoonist, also from New Jersey, with autism, who wants to find full-time employment for the first time. So all of this has led to a lot of opportunities in the autism community to really get a realistic portrayal and making sure that's recognized.
Absolutely. That sounds like an amazing experience. So we have now reached my favorite part of the show, the lightning round, where you get to share some great resources and some mind-blowing answers with the autism community. Does this sound like a plan?
Oh, yeah. Love the lightning round.
Awesome. So what has been your proudest moment so far with your work?
My proudest moment, I think, was probably winning the 2011 Outstanding Individual with Autism Award from the Autism Society. I never expected myself to get recognition at as well thought out as the Autism Society of America. Just having the national organization give me that award just meant the world to me, because it had shown me how far I had come since I was a kid and where I am now.
Absolutely. So what has been your number one favorite resource that you like to share with parents and educators?
Well, currently, as a writer, I have done a lot of blogs. I've been blogging ever since I started being a self-advocate when I was in college over 8 years ago. So one of my favorite resources is actually to share with people my personal website, which is carrymagro.com. And on that site, I have a specific blog, which I talk about everything from early intervention to adult services. I really delve deep into a lot of my own personal conversations with my experiences growing up and to what I'm doing today and giving helpful tips to our community.
Great. So you can find links to this resource and everything else we've been chatting about in today's episode by going to autismshow.org/Carrie. Carrie, there's one last question here. What vision do you have for the future of the autism community?
Honestly, for everyone to be accepted. We talk so much in our community right now about autism awareness. And I love that, because we do so much with... I feel like the reason why we've seen such a huge, the prevalence numbers have been increasing is because we're making sure less and less kids fall through the cracks. Again, when I was a kid, it was 1 in 1,000, and now today it's 1 in 68. So now we need to take it to the next level. We need to make sure that not only are we making people more aware of what autism is as a community, but we also need to make sure that these kids are being accepted for who they are. One thing that I said in the show that I'll say again just to emphasize is that kind of a saying that I've used is autism can't define me, I define autism. And I don't want any individual with autism to ever feel like they are defined by what autism is. I want people to go out there into their communities and feel supported and feel comfortable for who they are, and then to go out there and make all their dreams come true. So hopefully autism acceptance will lead the way in 2015 and beyond.
Awesome. So, Carrie, I've enjoyed listening to your story and your journey on the show today. Can you give our listeners one piece of parting guidance before we go, and then share the best way we can find you?
Absolutely. For anyone out there in a community or just a society that's listening to this, just understand that if you've met one individual with autism, you've met one individual with autism, and that we're all unique in our own different ways, not only with autism, but just people in general. We all have our unique quirks who make us who we are. So just always be accepting of diversity and individuality, because our community is so much better for it every single day. And the best way that you all can reach out to me is my website. It's carriemagro.com. There's a little contact box at the bottom of my website where all of you can contact me with any questions you may have about the autism community or just anything in general. Just shoot me a line and I'd be more than happy to get back to you guys, because our community is so fast and we need to be there for one another and make sure that none of us feel alone. So please feel free to contact me anytime, and
great. So carriemagro.com. Once again, if you're listening, you can find links to everything of value we've mentioned on this episode by going to autismshow.org/Carry. So K-E-R-R-Y. Carrie, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your story with the autism community.
Glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
Every Tuesday, we have a new show just for you. If you enjoyed listening to this interview, be sure to find The Autism Show on iTunes or Stitcher Radio and subscribe so you don't miss out. Head on over to autismshow.org, where you can find links to join our active Facebook and Twitter community. Thanks again for listening to The Autism Show podcast.